Hey, welcome to another episode of the Coffee Break Podcast, where our mission is to share business ideas, practices, and strategies while we enjoy our cup of coffee. Today's episode is with Frank Schwartz, and thankfully, Frank came today for one purpose and one purpose only, to clear up a reference to Caddyshack that I've never understood. On a side note, we also talk a little bit about F3 and G3L. These are both leadership organizations. One is it pertains to fitness, and one is it pertains to leadership development. We're going to be talking all things leadership today. Eye-opening experience, eye-opening conversation. You want to grab a notebook for this. Frank is always full of great information and great knowledge. So this is going to be an action-packed episode, one that you'll enjoy. Frank Schwartz today on the Coffee Break Podcast.
We got so much to say. We got a podcast to make. We're sipping on lattes, and it's time for a coffee break. It's time for a coffee break.
Oh, yeah. Frank, thanks for being back with us.
My pleasure, man. My pleasure. It's really good to see you.
It's super exciting. Things have changed a little bit in the room.
They have.
I mean, we've literally changed 90 degrees.
We were sitting
90 degrees different.
Yep. I mean, all the stuff that was kind of over on the side there has moved into its own room.
Yeah.
And you installed a Dan.
And we installed a Dan, yeah. It's been a wild year or so.
I will say this, and we were just talking about that before we came in here. Kind of when was it that I was on with you the first time? And I don't honestly remember, but it had to have been over a year.
I'll do a quick Google search here.
Give it a little roll, and I'll vamp. But you know, so we're looking at that and kind of thinking, and I was like, you know, I've been watching at least tangentially, like from a distance, social media, things like that. And I got to tell you, Chad, and I know this isn't blow sunshine in Chad's direction day, but. You guys are killing it over here.
Well, we appreciate it.
I mean, it is really refreshing to watch how somebody took the opportunity, mm-hmm. right, and said, okay, we have this huge problem mm-hmm. in front of us, a pandemic, mm-hmm. and you know, pivoting and doing what needed to be done. And, I mean, like the talks with the business leaders, mm-hmm. and I think that's, you're still doing those, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
You? I mean, out of nowhere. Like, it's crazy talk.
Yep. Yeah, we're coming in on – 13 months, 14
wow.
months of nonsense. We shifted from daily. I mean, we went for 8 or 9 months.
Like every day at like 4 o'clock or something.
Every day, yep, 4 o'clock. And we shifted over to 3 days a week, and then we went to 2 days a week. And that's we're still doing 2 days a week, Mondays and Wednesdays. And I'll tell you that. I mean, that's – I know we're off topic already, but that
we
is –
We said we had a topic. Continue.
Yeah, it has just been a – taking, and we talked about it early on, taking lemons and making lemonade.
Yeah.
And that, is, you know, we were all handed a bunch of lemons as small business owners and in a service world of going, what's going to happen? And every single business that was involved with it they're at a different place now, a better place, and they're plotting the future, right?
Yeah.
It's been very exciting.
And I would say this too. It sounds like it's kind of indicative of, you know, you were every day. Well, that's when no one had any work to do, mm-hmm. right? So the fact that it's down to two a day, two a week, like that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That means other people are working and we're getting busy and doing some other things. Probably.
Well, it was that. I mean, it was part of just the, man, we were spending 10 hours a week together. Maybe we should see each other on a part-time basis.
I don't like you that much.
It was that, and it was also, you know, every single one of the businesses have shifted some type of stuff operationally. And
right.
so, but for a majority of those people that are able to come and spend 4 hours a week together, it's just a growth mindset. So
yeah,
it's very cool.
Awesome.
So December 3rd, 2019 was when you were here.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So that was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was way, it feels like forever.
Yeah. About a year and a half.
A year and a half. That's crazy. Okay.
So anyways, that's so a lot.
I love how accurate you are too. You're like, I believe it was 10 o'clock in the morning.
I just Googled it. Right?
I
did was Frank Schwartz Lockdog Security. And look,
and boom.
It's all these videos here on Google.
We're so famous. It's very difficult.
So that made it easy. So let's get into rapid fire because
I don't
even know where we're at this point.
Doesn't matter.
You're ready to go.
I'm ready.
If you were offered a position of the mayor of your city, would you take it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I would.
No? Well, where do you live? Charlotte.
Yeah.
I live in Fort Mill. Like, that's going to be like the easy.
The king of Fort Mill.
I'll take
care. I mean, I'm pretty confident that's what it would be.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Leadership's, I think, probably the most important thing that we can do. Mm-hmm. And if we do it well, then the entire community thrives.
I hope no mayors are listening, but if they are, they could please contact us and we'll have you as a podcast guest. But does the mayor have any leadership capability, or are they just kind of a figurehead?
You know what? I'll say it probably depends on where you are. Mm-hmm. Probably depends on where you are. In Fort Mill, who knows? I don't know. Probably a little bit.
Question number two, what board game do you like the most?
Ooh, favorite board game. So most everything in my life, you know, you have to put things in the right context. I mean, there are times when Monopoly is mm-hmm. where it's at, and that's a lot of fun. I think currently my favorite board game right now is when my daughter, youngest, who is now 11, we have a Connect Four tournament.
Okay.
And that's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like losing to her in Connect Four.
You like
sometimes losing. Legitimately. Like it's she's pretty good.
How did you do that?
Yeah, wait. I've been sleeping.
Number three, if you get rid of the world, this is an easy question.
All right.
But it's random.
It's random.
So I don't.
Yeah.
If you could get rid of the world of one disease, what would it be?
Gosh, it's hard to say in the middle of a pandemic what you.
How did that one come up here?
You know, who knows?
Yeah. Probably like the common cold.
Yeah.
Your favorite day of the week.
Although, you know, now that we say that, I would say, I think malaria still kills more people than coronavirus, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's get rid of that one.
Okay. Yeah. Your favorite day of the week?
The ones that end Y. Baby. Every day's a good day.
Every day's
right?
a great day.
Every day's a good
if
day.
If you're enjoying what you're doing, every day's a good day.
Every day's a good day.
Last question. If you inherited it or won, I've asked this question on the last three podcast episodes,
serious?
But I'm going to ask it again.
Random my rear.
If you inherited or won $1 million, what is the very first thing that you would do with the money?
Is it $1 bills? Let's pretend it's $1 bills. I'm going to fill a bathtub. And I'm going to roll around.
That reminds me of a guy that I know. His name is JJ.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he has that.
$1 million in a bathtub and he rolls around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm pretty. But he puts it in a big pool.
Yeah.
Gold coins, really.
Yeah. Wait, this sounds like some sort of Scrooge McDuck thing is coming to mind.
So you would just swim in it?
No. $1 million. I mean, you know, it's so funny to say $1 million anymore because $1 million is – it's not a small amount of money, mm-hmm. but it's not a large amount of money.
Yeah,
you know, but that would I would probably you know I got a 17-year-old, a 15-year-old, you know, so it's probably college and things like that, and get you know investments, things along those lines, saving it up. I don't want for much.
Yeah,
like I you know
invest for the future.
Yeah, yeah, I don't need anything right now. I'm
Bitcoin
good.
Probably.
Yes, I would max out in Bitcoin because I know what that is. Sort of.
All right, let's jump into it. I'll give you a score, 918. Congratulations.
I think that's an improvement over my last one. I'll have to go back and look.
I would have zero idea because I make them up every single time.
I know. I'll just have to go back and look. I think it's improvement.
Two things that we will talk about today, F3 and G3L, which are both have the number 3 in it. Not really sure why.
Not even a favorite number, but yes.
But it just kind of works that
way.
And I want to quickly talk about F3, and then I really want to spend the breadth of our time on leadership and kind of things
they're
that
all
you've
related,
been working on.
So
that.
Yes,
but F3 is a fitness group situation,
yes.
right? And this past year in the pandemic situation, when a lot of gyms had to shut down, your guys' community, like I would imagine, probably. Where was that much more strengthened and you kind of changed? I know it's a very informal type of thing, but what's been happening there?
No, that's a great question. So as you mentioned, you know, obviously early on, especially before we really kind of had a feel for what are we really facing here? Like what's mm-hmm. really happening out there and who's affected and who's, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So there's still a lot of unknowns. And they started shutting some things down, and they shuttered the gyms, and so people did. You know, we did see some influx from that, mm-hmm. but even at the very beginning of that, like we weren't even allowed to meet outside.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, or group sizes were limited to such where it was just not conducive, and so our guys went on Zoom, you know, and started doing virtual workouts.
Yeah,
and so it was interesting because you know, whereas if you were working out with F3 guys, let's say, you know, in Charlotte. And you can no longer do that mm-hmm. because, you know, the governor said, hey, you can't do that, right? So, you know, normally it's a peer-led thing. A guy in Charlotte would lead guys in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, it was like, oh, the guy in Florida is leading mm-hmm. the guy in, you know, Omaha and Milwaukee. And, you know, like, and it was like, and so it was interesting that way.
Sure.
In fact, we started calling it the can't remember if we called it the Peloton or the mirror. We were like, oh, we'll take the Peloton approach, you know, like it's sort of like this virtual, you know, and because it is, you know, it's peer led and there's no professionals anywhere and, you know, paid positions anywhere in there. And so we just have to get scrappy, you know, we have to get kind of inventive. But then once things started to loosen up a little to where we could gather outside and, you know, not and knew that we weren't putting ourselves or anybody else in danger particularly. Sure. In fact, they were encouraging you to be like, hey, get outside, get some strenuous exercise. We're like, we'll do that.
We got that.
Yeah,
we've been doing that for a while.
Yeah, exactly, right? And so once we kind of got to where, you know, we were able to do that a little bit more, then, you know, we saw a significant tick up in the number of people that were coming out.
So. I would imagine, though, like based off of my limited experience and knowledge with F3,
sure, which you can remedy at any time.
Understood. Understood. Is the fact that a lot of them like meet in kind of parking lots and kind
always
of
always outdoors.
Places.
Yeah. Rain, so, shine, heat or cold.
You've now got a bunch of empty parking lots. I mean, you've got a lot
you
of opportunity.
Yeah, you go anywhere.
And it's really spread out.
Yeah, and all the parking decks that we used to get chased out of, you know. For the, those guys are gone. They're not hanging around. They don't think anybody's here. The stores are all closed. It's fine.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. So things have been going good with F3, and that's all kind of probably just grown as much.
It has. And I, you know, it's funny that you I probably should have looked before I came over, but I want to say it's somewhere in the neighborhood of you know, I think we were right around 2,000 workouts, and we just crossed over the 2,600 workout number weekly. You know, over the past year, we've grown from, I think it was, if I was, again, somewhat guessing, right?
Just,
but I mean, it's about
budget.
A 20-30%,
sure.
You know, in terms of the number of regions, the number, I mean, it's really starting to, and we're hitting also that critical population point where it's somewhat estimated, because since it is free and since it is, you know, kind of informalish and come and go, whatever, so we don't count people. But, you know, the estimates are somewhere in that 35,000-ish range. And we've just, you know, we're at that point where it's like, okay, now when one guy tells one guy, it's not 50 guys, it's, you know, 500 guys or 5,000 guys or, you know, whatever. So
it kind of reminds me on Google Meet, if you ever use Google Meet instead of Zoom, when a lot of people start showing up, it says like there's 3 people, 10 people. And then when there's a lot, it just says there are a lot of people here. It sounds like that's the way you count F3. There are a lot of people here.
Sure, a lot of people here. Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
That's about right.
So that's been going good and exciting, kind of kicking on there.
Yeah. And what I would say too is the other thing that really has grown a lot, because and we talked about this, I think, a little bit last time, is yes, F3 employs workouts as the mechanism for developing male community leadership. So really we're a leadership group that uses workouts as the mechanism to teach and to train and do that sort of thing, right?
Gotcha.
And so it's kind of that you know, it's a little bit of a head fake, right? Where you know, but the interesting thing about it too, through the pandemic, is that because everything was shut down a little bit and virtual and that sort of thing, guys started meeting over Zoom or Google Meet if they want to do that. Is this sponsored by Google?
No,
should I know? No. Okay, I'm just making sure.
We'll never mention
Zoom again.
Well, we just use G Suite all the time.
It was a joke. Don't give any credence to what I'm saying, except the important stuff. But they started having, you know, more leadership philosophy type discussions and using some of the books and things that we have produced and stuff, and meeting virtually. And so the uptick, not just in the workouts, but also the uptick in sort of, I guess, what you would call the, I don't know, the cultural penetration or the culture, you know, like the, but you know, meeting and having these discussions around leadership and how do we be better leaders and how do we run our organizations better locally and that sort of thing.
Sure.
That really ramped up.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, our podcast, of course, not commuting, we've had that discussion. Right? Yeah. Not commuting didn't help anybody's podcast.
No.
But, you know, we have seen a significant growth, though, in the amount of culture, in the amount of leadership. I think it strengthened us, I guess, on the whole.
Yeah.
And which is what we would expect from our guys, right? We work out outside on purpose because we want to get more durable. We want to face and chase hard things. You know, we want to insert ourselves in the dangerous and the dirty and the difficult, right? I mean, that's what we're seeking to do.
Yeah.
Because that way we get more durable and that way we become stronger leaders when crisis comes. And when, you know, because I don't know if you know this, kids, crisis is going to come again, like it or don't.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's a thing. Yeah. So. It's what I would expect and what I'm grateful that did happen. But, yeah, we definitely saw some strengthening.
We understand the frustrations HOA board members and property managers face when deciding the best solution for their HOA and pool security. Should we use a keypad, hand out keys, or install a key card system? Do we even need cameras? These are some of the questions that are difficult to navigate, and we're here to help. At LockDock Security, we've spent over 20 years working with homeowners associations and property managers to find a system that best fits the pool and HOA needs. Camera systems for the front gate or front entrance, key card systems for the pool gates, or simply updating the gate so that it meets safety and code compliance. We like to take the guesswork out of the process to answer any questions and help find the right solution. Our mission is to help you protect your people and your property, and that includes pools. Contact our team today to schedule your free consultation for your community.
Content as a whole has been interesting over the last, you know, year and a half, how that has changed. YouTube has increased significantly, the viewership there. Yep. Podcast has seen it struggle because, like you just said, not a lot of people are commuting, and that was a big commute factor.
Big, yep.
I guess I would say there are still a lot of people commuting, but the vast majority, it kind of slowed down. It was so wild. I mean, just thinking back, you know, March, April, May, June, even through last summer, you know, man, my commute time got cut in half because I never stopped coming to the office, and it was just amazing.
Yeah.
And,
nobody out here.
And that was like our understanding of how things were going was, you know, our office space is right next to the interstate. So you just walk outside and go, is it busier?
He just put a decibel meter on there. It was amazing. And now he knows.
If you see cars parked on the interstate, then you know that things are getting back to normal. If it was never stopped, then not a good thing. No, but anyways, so outside of that, obviously a lot of content has changed. Things are shifting. You are navigating this G3L.
Correct.
I got it.
You got
on
it.
The third try.
Yeah.
Leadership and deploying some more content avenues, connecting with people online to be able to connect and understand that. What has that been like for you over the past year or so?
I would say that in much the same way, I guess in a similar way to what a lot of small businesses did, certainly you guys did, and I've seen others do it as well, is, I mean, at some level you're like, well, I'm just going to start throwing spaghetti, you know, and let's see, right? And so engaging a lot more online in terms of like using LinkedIn in different ways, and apparently there is a live, like you can go LinkedIn live. Mm-hmm. I've applied. I guess we'll see. I don't know.
If you get it, let me know, because I have as well. And
it's a bummer. You know, and I see who's out there on it, and I'm like,
how did they
really
get it?
okay, if you say so. But presumably it'll come at some point. But doing some of that kind of stuff, and I just recently started doing this. I mean, and look, you know, you're just sitting around, and I'm like, I have an hour, a half hour on Friday where I'm really not doing very much. Like, surely I can cram something in here. Now, some of that's that, you know, type A in us, right? It's just part of how we are, but at the same time too, you're like, I don't have to prep this thing a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Like, I can just spew what's out of my brain. So I started doing these leadership ask me anything. You ever see Caddyshack? You ever seen that one? Bill Murray. It's a
I don't
golf.
Watch a lot of everybody
it's
asks
very
me
old. Well, it's very old.
Yeah,
it's
well,
a little older than you.
I don't watch movies.
Fair.
So anyways,
anyway, so there's this part. Anyway, Bill Murray's talking about how he met the Dalai Lama, but he keeps calling him Lama. And for guys that are roughly my age-ish, you know, mid-40s, that's funny. It'll be funny.
Okay.
When they hear this now, it won't be funny to you. But
Sidetrack here.
Yeah, please.
Keith Larson.
Yes.
Reference is from?
Yes, that's exactly what that's from.
Oh, my
so,
gosh.
So, see, there you go. Right? Like another thing that I was just like, oh, I'll just steal that. I don't care.
15 years of confusion where that came from.
Lama.
Just clarify.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
And anybody else is listening right now is like, I don't know what the world you guys are talking about. Okay, back on track.
No problem.
So you've stolen this from Caddyshack.
So I was like, okay, I'm just going to do it. So I just started doing this like leadership ask me anything on Fridays. And, you know, the first couple times it was like, it's just, you know, your friends get on, they're like, you look stupid. And you're like, what are we, middle school? Like, like, what are we doing here? But then, you know, over the last few weeks, it's been, it started to actually be a thing. Some people ask some very legitimate questions.
Okay.
And it's a way to kind of just engage. And I think that's, you know, especially with people having been locked up for a year, to whatever degree, right? Self-imposed or not self-imposed or whatever, but certainly many more things have been shut down. Everything's been a little bit tighter.
Yeah.
And with to your point, more people going online to look. You know what it is, Chad? Is it's wonderful for me to say, well, I'm just very clever, and that's why, you know, it seems to be working well and people are watching and whatever. Yes, it's because I'm very brilliant that people are reading my posts and, you know, whatever.
Or they just are spending a lot of screen time.
I would love to say that's true. I think there's an increase in screen time. But you know what I think there's a decrease in? And this is what I think it really speaks to, is there is a significant decrease in community.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really why I think people are starting to try and engage and figure out how – and have been for the last few months and stuff, because they're just like, I didn't even realize like how – just how miserable I've been.
It's isolation.
Yeah. And and it's funny because – I was just listening to a speaker this morning, and I've listened to this speech now several times in a row because I'm like, huh, because it keeps just, you know, churning and churning. But that's one of the things that I've been talking to the guys about in F3, but also, you know, companies with G3L and things like that, is this same idea that, look, the crisis has been plopped in your lap. You have a challenge in front of you, and you have really only two choices, you know, grow or die. You pick. I don't, you know, I'm easy. But within that, there is, and even the crises that we see like up in Minnesota, you know, and these other places where there are just horrifying things happening. We can either divide or we can unify. There's really no middle on that.
Yeah.
In my mind.
You can't just hang out.
Yeah. And just be like, oh, I'm pretending that didn't happen. Like, you have to pretend it didn't happen. Like, you'd have to pretend that. So you'd have to be like a sociopath or something to, you know, sort of stay on this, you know, whatever. And unfortunately, what we keep seeing happen is just more and more divide and more and more divide. And people keep digging a little deeper and keep digging a little deeper, you know, and then and the chasm gets greater. And I started realizing, I was like, you know, people's belief about the universe and the world and whatever is up to them, and however it is however it is for them, right? I'm not judging it. I'm certainly not making any kind of claim on knowing exactly how it goes.
Sure.
But that said, it does seem that whatever this whatever's happening out there is, it seems to want us to be isolated. Man hunts best in a pack.
Yes.
Right? You know, we the isolation, the doing it on your own, that kind of thing. In fact, I told guys this a couple weekends ago. We were doing some training out in San Antonio and said, you know, and I just looked them right in the face and I said, look, here's the facts. The facts are that you were not created by whatever means you subscribe to get us from here to there. You exist, though. We all agree on that, right? Okay. However it is that you got here.
Sure, here.
The adaptive nature of human beings is you were not made to go this alone. You were not made to do this by yourself. And if you believe that you are, and you think, well, I'm strong enough, or I'm smart enough, or I'm whatever enough, you know, if this is the first time you're hearing it, I'm sorry, but that is a lie. It's a lie.
Yeah.
You cannot. It is 100% impossible to do it on your own. And unfortunately, what we see is, you know, the society and the whatever is driving us to try and be more and more alone and more isolated. And so that's why I think people are spending more time, and they're just looking for a community, and they're looking for someone, anyone, who will stand up and say, you know, I have beliefs.
Yeah.
These are the things that I think are good and virtuous, and I think we should all jump on, you know, and do this thing together. And people are like, can't wait.
Yeah.
Let me in.
Yeah.
You know, I love together.
Yeah.
Together's my favorite, right?
Our company, a majority of our company is doing a monthly book club. Man, I'm tongue-tied today. And the book that we're currently doing is How to Lead When You're Not in Charge.
Ooh, I haven't heard. I've not heard of that one.
Okay.
Tell me more.
So, well, I've just gotten started on it, so I can't tell you a whole lot.
Then don't tell me anything.
The basic summary of it is, when you're in a group, in a community, in some type of a group of people, there is this assumption that the only way to get things done is to be the person in charge. But real leadership happens at whatever level that you're at, and don't wait for somebody to give you a title, a role, or whatever.
Yes.
But creating leadership at every level, creating leadership wherever
who wrote
you
this?
Are. Clay whatever Scroggins.
Okay. Good old Clay. That's right.
old buddy Clay.
The Scrogster, as we called him back in the day. Yes.
So the reason I bring it up is it struck me as we were talking earlier before we got started about your kind of leadership philosophy, things that you're working on right now is not necessarily at the C-suite, not necessarily at the person that's supposedly in charge,
right.
But with the everyday, this is what's happening, feet on the ground operations type stuff.
Yes,
leadership in that perspective. How does that change an organization when you create leadership at every level of your organization and people operate as if they are in charge or operate with a level of leadership, leading themselves, leading other folks, mm-hmm. whatever. How does that change the trajectory of that organization?
Dramatically. So,
and why, I guess.
Right. No.
that was a good one-word answer. And we'll move on.
Better. Yeah, I don't know. Right. So let me say it this way. So F3, mm-hmm. As an organization that I'm president of F3, so that organization that I lead, as well as, the consultancy is just us and a couple of guys.
Sure.
Right. But certainly what we're trying to teach to folks that have larger organizations too is you can either be an organization with leaders, right? A lot of management, mm-hmm. if you will, a lot of oversight, a lot of institutional governance or whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. right? Folks who check boxes for mm-hmm. a living and make pivot tables or whatever they do with spreadsheets these days. I don't really know.
Gotta love a good pivot table.
I would if I knew. Any idea what it was. The idea that you have that kind of an organization, or you have an organization of leaders. So you can have one with leaders or of leaders. And I hate the word empowerment because I think it's been abused to the point where it's meaningless. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have any real meaning anymore. But to create actual opportunity mm-hmm. For leadership. Now, we typically intend to think of, okay, I must have a role. So mm-hmm. just like you're saying, like I must have a title or I must have a this or that or whatever. You know, people give millennials a really bad rap. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, they just want to be entitled. And I'm like, no, I think you're missing it. I think you're looking past what is really there and you're putting it in your Gen X, context or whatever, mm-hmm. right? But they're like, well, they want these titles and they haven't earned them. And I'm like, what if there were no titles? What if you didn't have a title?
Yeah.
Like, what if it's really just a matter of them wanting to feel like they're contributing because they have been taught to lead, mm-hmm. lead themselves, lead others. And the trick of it all is, and this is where a lot of institutions get really hung up, and as much as they really want to believe that they're different than this, as much as I didn't make them talk about the fact that they are different than this, they really aren't dedicated to a mission, mm-hmm. unfortunately. Mm. They have a mission statement, which is typically, and it may even been very well thought out and whatever, and it, it's in vinyl on the break room wall or whatever it
absolutely,
is, right?
Yeah.
But to really have a true sense of purpose, mm-hmm. of we are headed to a place to make things happen, right? There are tasks that we perform in order to fulfill this purpose, and this purpose is bigger than all of us, mm-hmm. right? We're not here to install locks and doors. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, yes, tactically that is a thing that we do in order to, right, to create safety, to create a place where people feel comfortable working, mm-hmm. Whatever the thing is, but to really start looking at a grander vision of what is it we're really doing here, mm-hmm. and what is it we're really trying to do. And that way, when you can get men and women, the term we would use is missional, mm-hmm. right? And get them on mission and then help them individually. And this is a lot of the work that I'm trying to do right now, and that is by far my favorite thing to do, is to take a person, and we were talking about kind of that magical demographic person, right? Mm-hmm. Is a man or woman who has worked at a company for, let's say, between 5 and 10 years, mm-hmm. right? And they are looking at their trajectory. They've gotten a couple promotions. They've got a couple kids. They just bought a new car. Mm-hmm. They just moved into their nice house. And then they're sitting around going, well, now what? Mm-hmm. Is this what I was chasing? Like, mm-hmm. is this it? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, as soon as you start asking those is this it questions, you're headed for your midlife crisis. Mm-hmm. But that's another story that we can talk about another day. You'll get there, young man. but you start looking at all these different things that are playing out, and these people need to become unlocked. So the work that I love doing is looking and saying, let's find out what makes Chad, Chad. Mm-hmm. Like, let's get really down to like what turns you. I'm not gonna say turns you on because now suddenly that sounds bad. But like what unlocks
what
you?
What makes you tick?
Yeah. What makes you on fire to get out and do? What are those? And we call it the ultimate life problem, right? How are you solving your ultimate life problem? Mm. What is that thing that bothers you more than anything else on the planet that you think to yourself, if we could fix that, then we'd be onto something, right? Let's figure out that mission together. Let's figure out your purpose. And then let's figure out how that ties into the purpose of the organization that you're there to serve.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
Effective organizations begin with effective human beings. So if we can help you become an effective human being, then, I mean, then when you sit down with the numbers guys and go, well, why should we give you this training or why should we do these things? It becomes pretty obvious when you start talking about things like turnover and retention and, you know, whatever else, you know, you pick a metric. It doesn't really matter.
Sure.
If you have people that are missionalized, that are just dead focused on accomplishing the greater good, they are willing to sacrifice themselves. They are willing to sacrifice money. They are willing to sacrifice comfort. They are willing to sacrifice a lot of things if they understand how to get from here to there. And it's true of F3, and it's true of, you know, the companies we work with. And I give you the example of F3 just because it's a real straight line to draw. But, you know, we tell guys all the time, like, if they understood the mission, if you really understood the mission, you would never even question whether or not it was raining outside. You'd crawl over broken glass to get there. Like, it's... if you knew what you were doing, if you really knew what you were doing. And so that's the – I know that was a long answer to what was probably a short question, but
– no, I don't think so, because it really ties back into understanding, you know, organizations. I guess you can address it from one way or another, but at the end of the day, you know, you're trying to solve somebody's problem.
Yeah.
If your organization is trying to solve some problem – and if the folks that are a part of that organization are not tied to collectively, I guess, what it is that you're focused on trying to accomplish, and they can't see that, then they are just there to complete a task. You know, they're task completers.
Right.
And that's where, I guess, the difference between understanding and unlocking people from a leadership standpoint is it's less of just saying, you have the freedom to make these decisions. It's this is where we're headed, and making decisions in that direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you copy this key? That's a question we get asked about 3,422 times a year. And how can you actually be sure that the person who asked that question is supposed to get a copy of that key? Well, we think you should always know who can copy your keys to your business and your home, because it could be your neighbor, an old employee, a contractor, or even worse, your mother-in-law. At LockDock Security, we believe in protected key systems, so you always know who has a copy of your key. To find out more, visit LockDock.net or stop by our Charlotte location. LockDock Security, helping you protect your people and your property.
I like to call it the Chinese menu fallacy, you know, and that is that when you go into a Chinese restaurant, you believe you have all this choice. You know, you look at the menu, a huge menu, and you go, ah, yes, I will have whatever I want to eat, but ask them for a hamburger and see what happens, right? So I'm either creating this face, that, you know, and this is what I think empowerment has come to be as a Chinese menu, is they go, we empower you to make decisions as long as the decisions that we want, amongst the choice of these six decisions that I will allow you to have.
As long as they're already on this sheet that we've already defined.
Right, yeah. But you're free, free to choose these five things, right? And it's ridiculous, right? But if I say to you, Chad, you are, pick a job, it doesn't even matter, right? The janitor, right? You're the janitor. And you know that your mission, our mission here is X. And this guy suddenly starts going, I will keep the place clean to accomplish the mission. Because clean environment makes better workers, makes better, you know, blah, 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 whatever, right?
Yep.
And then, now that's maybe an extreme example. But well, the idea there.
No, I think it clicks. So we say our mission around here is to help our customers protect their people and their property. Like, everything that we're doing should be driving back towards that.
Yep.
So every single day, does that, you know, if our goal is to help you protect your people and your property, then are we doing that with expediency? Are we doing that with order?
Like, right.
What can you actively say that this act that I'm doing is pointing towards that mission? And it gives you that kind of understanding to make those decisions.
And that's exactly it. And that's ennoblement, maybe is a better way to put it, or you know, whatever you want to call it, but it's not empowerment again, or maybe it is, I don't know. Choose your word. It doesn't really matter. But I'm going to throw one past you, and this is the part you can cut out if you want to, because I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable. But to protect, say it again.
To protect our customers, people, and their property.
And their property. and I'm going to throw three words in there and say, in order to what?
So our mission is to help them protect their people and their property in order to...
And I'm not saying fill it in right now. That's not the challenge.
No, that's a good question.
But do you see what I'm saying? So let's dig. So I call it the why times seven, you know, and I kind of – we go – it's not literally seven necessarily, but that's one of the processes that we go through. Not that we're trying to – you know, and I'm not a management consultant.
Sure.
I have no interest in that whatsoever. You know, I think I mentioned I don't know what a pivot table is. I think you have to know what that is in order to be a management consultant. I don't really know. So I'm not interested in going in and doing like these great visioning exercises with like, let's change your mission statement and make it blah, blah. Shut up. Your mission statement's probably fine, but it's just probably incomplete.
Yeah.
You know, there's layers of stuff underneath why it is that you want to do that. And so I say, to protect our clients' people and their property. Mm-hmm. Why? You know, and then you answer that question. Okay, well, tell me why that's important. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, help me understand what it is about that makes the, you know what I mean? And we kind of go through this process together. And then pretty soon you start going, it's a little dramatic to say, like, we changed the world with locks.
Yeah.
A little dramatic, right? But at some level, you're not really changing the world, but none of us can. Is that dumb to say? I know your mom always said you could, right?
No.
But I'm not going
to
change
the world. Yeah. It's kind of simplifying down the process to what it is the root of what you're trying to accomplish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what it is. It's the paring down all of the machinations and the bluster and the, you know, the whatever it is, right? To get down to what I consider capital T truth. What is the capital T truth?
Well, I think a lot of people get so tied up on a mission statement in the making it sound so ferocious, right? Like with so many big words that nobody really understands and it's not portable and people can't really get behind it because they don't even remember what it is. Simplifying it down to, you know, we change the world with locks or whatever it would be, it's portable. And at that point, you can have the most defined mission statement and the most accurate to what you're trying to accomplish. But if people can't, if they don't remember it or they can't embrace it, then
who cares?
It's no good.
And if I can't see myself in it, then it becomes a real problem.
Yeah.
You know, so Johnny Installer, you know, when you say we exist to protect our clients' people and their property, and you give him the in order to, and then he says, oh, no problem. Now, Johnny, you're a leader. You are the leader. In your, you know, yes, you have a sphere of influence within your job description and title and all that kind of stuff. Sure.
Yeah.
It's not quite the Chinese menu fallacy, but it's, you know, yes, there's limits. You know, you're not going to. He's like, I think we should spend $1 million to fix this. Well, Johnny, you're fired. But, you know, right? But if you're the leader and you understand what it is you're leading toward, every decision that Johnny makes in the field now has a framework. It has a reference. It has a place where he can see himself and he can see what it is he's trying to actually do for these people.
It's the whole outcome-based objectives rather than the opposite structure where you're saying do this.
Right.
It's
right. Here's your checklist, Johnny.
Here's your checklist, but now here is your outcome-based objective. So as long as we're working towards this goal.
And there may be a checklist that's part of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's almost always tactical pieces of the transformational or strategic solutions that we're trying to come up with, right? But if you only focus on the tactical, Johnny learns how to be a tactical guy very, very well. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, then, and this is what happens, right? If you have an organization of people who know how to do a job, but they're not leaders, then they can only make decisions to hear, right? And then as soon as it's outside of this checklist, Johnny just looks at the wall and goes, I better call Dad.
You know? Well, the other part of it, I think, where I'm understanding where you're headed, if they don't, so in order to have a defined checklist that this is the only thing that you're going to do, you're just going to follow this checklist, that means that somebody, that person in charge, has predetermined what that checklist is.
Yes.
And it
usually based on experience that has nothing to do with what Johnny's actually doing, but go on.
And in the possibility that that person in charge missed a critical component on that checklist, In our situation, Johnny's not going to complete it, even if he realizes that it needs to be done, if he's not positioned to be a leader, right? And that's what, I guess that's really, if you dial it down, that's really what it comes down to is, you can process and SOP things and all that because that's who's going to be the person in charge. And I'm not against SOPs. We're working through that here in our organization.
You got to have them. You really do. You have to.
But I guess the point is if you get so structured in this is how you do everything because somebody else in charge said this is how it's supposed to be done, and you don't give people the leadership qualities to understand what the mission is, and if the mission is against what this checklist is, then what do? We go to the mission.
Right.
Because you're going to have people that are going to miss critical steps because it was not predetermined for them.
Right.
Training the people in the leadership capacity where they can make those decisions aligning with the mission is where you have great success, right?
I agree. Yeah, I agree very, very much. Because that's the thing is, and we see it a lot, and again, we try to teach companies this, and it is more difficult. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially because we're kind of swimming upstream to some degree,
yeah.
You know, because the culture has taught us a very opposite thing for so long. But particularly in F3, you know, people call me, right? Like I know anything,
yeah.
Right? And they're like, well, what about this? And I have to ask every time and go, well, when you talked to the guy who is your local leader there in, you know, Omaha, Nebraska, what did he say?
Mm-hmm.
And they're always like, well, we didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, after you've done that, you know, if you're just not finding the satisfaction, then, you know, call, and but all I'm going to do is find you another person to go to, right? Because
sure.
I don't have any idea. I'm not on the ground. And so this happens a lot in organizations where, you know, we talk about the ivory tower mm-hmm. and it's a kind of a cliche as well. But the fact is that a lot of decisions and a lot of SOPs and a lot of things get built based on what guys sitting way up here mm-hmm. think might be happening
mm-hmm.
or what they remember used to happen when they were over here. Or whatever the thing might be, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they're sitting there and going, I'm pretty sure. Well, you can't be pretty sure. Unless you're sitting right there, mm-hmm. you can't be pretty sure. And there's no way. And so it's not that you're a bad leader or you're a terrible manager or whatever. It's just not practical anymore. The world doesn't work that way. And unfortunately, I think a lot of it has to do with the speed with which everything works.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has to be able to make critical decisions on the ground and know that he is moving toward mission,
mm-hmm.
that he is leading something, himself, his team, his client that he's visiting, you know. And if everybody's connected in on that, right, these guys, and this is where it really gets tricky, and this is why I don't this is why I don't work with CEOs, right? Because unfortunately, more often than not, these guys have already decided they know how it is,
mm-hmm.
and it's very difficult to help them to change.
Yeah.
Other people with other skills can do that.
Yeah.
I don't have those skills. What I can do is I can go to this guy here and say, all right, let me unlock your brain. Mm-hmm. You're going to get missional yourself. We're going to teach you how to teach all these guys, because this is where the work gets done. You know, we'll teach you all these guys how to do it.
And you're effectively impacting future generations because, I wouldn't say that you at this point, I think it's important for the C-suite to understand that, the CEOs and all of those folks to understand that this needs to be a mindset.
Yeah.
Harder to switch them if they've been 40 years in
right.
this way. It's not impossible, but it's going to be harder for that shift. But rather than spending the next 10 years trying to convince them to change their leadership style, start where you can, because mm-hmm. that's going to happen over generationally. It'll happen, right?
Right.
So being mindful of that, I think that's very, very eye opening. I would say from the CEO perspective, you know, I would encourage anybody to really dive into that and challenge that, because if you think that you're not acting that way. Maybe go ask some people, because it's probably the case.
Yeah.
And start to understand, how do I get people in a position where they can make decisions and impact towards the mission, and give them the ability to make those decisions without relying on somebody in charge to do that. And I think it's very timely for me through this conversation in the middle of this book that we're kind of getting started on and seeing the massive impact of getting people comfortable with being in charge and being in a leadership position wherever they are.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Because, again, taught for so many years the opposite thing. Well, I'm just supposed to do what I'm supposed to do and just take my orders and go home.
It's above my pay grade.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Oh. heaven help you, don't say that stuff. Yeah. You know, like that's like when my kids say, well, I can't, I just, oh, there's like this valve. I don't understand what you're saying right now. You know, that's just not a thing that
does not compute.
Yeah.
No, but it is, again, the traditional mindset that has been, and so it's a long-term strategy that people have been working on for years. I mean, this is not new.
No.
But it's starting to become more of a, I guess, more of a mainstream understanding, and you're going to see that move through.
Well, and it's like everything. You know, there's cycles, and there's waves, and there's times, and there's seasons, and whatever. And I will say that in maybe a new and slightly more enlightened and different way to a degree, it's not a new idea. None of this is new. I mean, leadership's not new.
Sure.
Good leadership is good leadership and has been for hundreds of thousands of years, right? But I think it's an idea that's time has come around again.
Sure.
And we're seeing it in a much more deep fashion. It's and again, it's because we have so many more tools, so much more information, so much more ability. We can be so nimble and so quick. In fact, we talk a lot about bullfrog organizations versus lizard organizations, you know, and a bullfrog is the kind that, you know, eventually becomes so bureaucratically bloated that it just sits on the lily pad and waits, fly, you know, and just, and that's it. It doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
wait for stuff to come to them.
Exactly. Yeah. A lizard is nimble. It seeks, it goes, you know, you grab a lizard by the tail, it breaks it off and grows a new one, right? You can't keep a lizard down.
Oh, man.
Right? You got to be fast. You got to get moving. So, but that, you know, those differences become more and more evident. And I think people are really at a place where that lizardness is an idea that they can grab onto. So,
I like it. Frank, thanks for coming in today.
No way.
I mean,
I could do it every day.
It's been a great conversation.
I'm not going to, but I could.
I've got a few other things I've got to get done.
Yeah, one or two.
Appreciate you coming in. If anybody wants to get in contact with you, what's the best way to do that?
Frank@g3l.com is the email. That's an easy way to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm on Twitter and all those kind of things too, whatever, but that's probably the easiest one.
Or you could just search Frank Schwartz, Lockdog Security.
I was just going to say, and boom, you're going to find a ton.
It'll take you right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. Thank you again, Frank, for coming in. Always a blast to sit and chat with you. At least I've got my coffee. So, yes, good stuff. Thank you for joining us today. If this is your first time, we invite you to subscribe, because that's the only way you're going to get the latest episode every Tuesday morning as it comes out. It's Tuesdays, 9 a.m., brand new episode. We've got over 130 other episodes for you to check out. So you can do that all by visiting lockdoc.net/podcast. We have it in audio and video as well. So you can get all of that there. You can find out our Facebook page and our YouTube page. If you're listening to this, you want to watch it. You want to check it out. It's a pretty good podcast to watch. You can do that by subscribing on our YouTube channel. Get there and make sure you do that, and you'll get a notification every time a new episode is released. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next time right here on the Coffee Break Podcast. We'll